Very warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We begin this new year, not continuing from our study on the book of Judges, but because it is dedication Lord's Day, we like to focus a little bit on what it means to dedicate our lives to serve the Lord. And the Lord has laid upon our hearts to study Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 28. Joshua wrote these words from his heart. He had accomplished all that God had asked him to do. He completed what God started in his servant Moses. When Moses brought the people out of Egypt, the land of bondage, on the way to the promised land, Moses did not complete that task. He sinned against God, and God did not allow him to finish the conquest. And so God raised up a man like Joshua to finish the final piece of the puzzle for the nation of Israel. To become a nation, they must have a lot of people, they must have the constitution, and so when God, through Moses, brought 2 million odd Israelites out of Egypt, they had the people. And while they were in Mount Sinai, God gave to his people the constitution, and that would be the moral law, the civil law, as well as the religious law, which is also known as the Levitical law, for them to regulate their lives with one another, as well as their walk with God. But the last and final piece of the puzzle to complete a nation is they must have a land. Without the land, they will still be called only the people of Israel, not the nation of Israel. And that is why throughout the first 5 books of the Bible, you do not find Israel being called the nation. But after what Joshua did, by bringing them across the River Jordan, defeating all the Canaanites or the Amorites in the land of promise, through a period of about 6 to 7 years, with all the cities, all the houses and homes, with all the land intact, except for the cities of Jericho and Ai, all the rest of the cities were left intact, so that after the defeat of all the Amorites or the Canaanites, the Israelites were able to occupy the cities and the homes of the Canaanites fully intact. And so they did not lift a finger to build any buildings, but they had houses to live in. They did not have to lift a finger to plant, but they have wheat fields, cornfields. They have vineyards all ready for Israel to enjoy. And so after dividing the land of promise for the 12 tribes according to lots that God has decided, it was now time for Joshua to leave this world. He had done all that God had asked him to do in his life. And that is why when he was first introduced to us in Joshua chapter 1, he was only called Moses' minister. But by the time he finished his life and his service unto the Lord, for the first time, God introduced Joshua to us as the servant of Jehovah. And so he did well. He earned the title, the servant of Jehovah. And so before he left Israel, he had some final words to encourage Israel, so that what he had started in the new nation of Israel must not die after Joshua's death. He wanted Israel to continue to be a glorious, a spiritual, wonderful nation of witnesses to the glory and mercies of God, to a world that is in darkness, to a world that is dying in sin. And so these are his last words. He could have said many, many things to Israel as part of his last words, but he chose only one thing to say to Israel before his death. And so we know how important the last words of a father is to his children. a leader is to God's people. And so the question for us this morning is this, as we begin the new year on this first Lord's Day. The same words that Joshua posed to the people of Israel before his departure. Choose you this day. Make a choice. Choose you this day. He did not say choose you this lifetime. Yes, we know that choose you this day means from here onwards, make a choice. But because the word day is used, you and I have to realize that it is more than just a momentarily once in a lifetime choice. But it has to be a daily choice. It's as if Joshua was telling the people of Israel that every time you have a new day, you have to make a choice. Choose you this day. Every day is this day, isn't it? You may have chosen well yesterday, no guarantee you will choose well today. And so choose you this day has to be a daily exercise on the part of God's people. Because if you and I choose wrongly, we will fall into sin. You and I chose to be found in God's house on this first Lord's Day. Will you continue to be found in God's house every Lord's Day when it is a new Lord's Day? You have to choose to be found in God's house or to be somewhere else. It's your choice. From Monday to Saturday, when you wake up, you make choices. Will it be a day of blessing or will it be a day of stumbling around and falling into sin after sin? Choose you this day. Because the bottom line is this. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's the question. Because as long as we know who we are serving, you will be fine. But I don't want to serve. You have no choice. The moment you are born into this world, the Bible says you and I are slaves. After salvation, you and I are still slaves. Romans chapter 6 made that very clear. Before salvation, we were slaves to sin. Sin was our master. And so the Bible tells us the wages of sin, which is our master, was death. Romans 6:23. But after salvation, the word used is still slave. Slaves of God, slaves of righteousness. Now we have a new master, still serving. Please understand that even after the resurrection, when we are in heaven, Revelation 22, God still used the word doulos, servants, slaves, to describe us. In other words, as far as God is concerned, all human beings are servants. Never forget that, yes, we are also God's children. And that's why Reverend Toh taught us, don't serve as slaves, that kind of mentality, even though we are called slaves. But serves as children of God. Because when you serve as children of God, the whole attitude will be completely transformed. Because we serve our loving Heavenly Father. And in order to do that, you have to make the choice. Who is the object of your heart? Who is the target that you are serving? You could serve self. You could serve family. You can serve the nation. You can serve money. You can serve so many things. And that is why it is a choice that you have to make. Choose you this day. And so verses 14 to 18, Joshua wanted to teach Israel, make the right choice. And I hope that you and I will make the right choice. Now how did he go about giving them the options, hoping that they will make the right choice? Now therefore, fear the Lord. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And so in verse 14, he sets the tone. Serve the Lord with fear. That's the beginning. And this fear of the Lord must continue. You never stop fearing the Lord as long as you are in this mortal flesh, where the propensity to sin remains. Fear of the Lord will stop us from sinning. The love of Christ will constrain us to continue to do what is right. The fear of the Lord will constrain us so that we will not do what is wrong. And when both of them are present, you will live a holy life. And so when you want to think of serving the Lord, understand that it has to begin with the good kind of fear. Fear the Lord, and then you serve Him in sincerity, with a right heart, no hidden motive, no hidden agenda, and do so in truth according to the Scriptures. That means when someone has done wrong, according to the Scriptures, you have to rebuke, you have to confront, you have to help that person stop doing wrong, and then come back to the Lord. If your service is that of a leader, if your service is that of a parent, of that of a teacher, that's what you must do. That's what it means by in truth. Sincerity means only agenda is for the glory of Christ and for your blessing. For the betterment of the lives of the people around us, with no hidden agenda of any self-benefit. No vested interests. That's what it means by sincerity. And so fearing God means your heart must be right. Not only must your life be done according to the services that are found in the Word of God, but it must be done with the right heart. A heart whereby I want you to accomplish God's will in your life, just as I hope you will help me accomplish God's will in my life. That's what service is all about. Jonathan and David are prime examples. They were best of friends, not because of anything like common nationality, same age. If you study the book of 1 Samuel, you realize that David was much younger than Jonathan. And then when they were of like heart and like-mindedness because of their common love for the Lord Jesus Christ, what you see in both their friendship and their service to one another unto the Lord was this. Jonathan helped David accomplish God's will in David's life. And David also helped Jonathan accomplish God's will in Jonathan's life. Now the struggle and the tension arose when the will of God in David's life happened to be the next king of Israel. And the problem was, Jonathan was supposed to be the next king of Israel, because he was the firstborn son of King Saul, the first king of Israel. And you know the law of kingship. It is by birth, by dynasty. And so now when Jonathan realized, in order for me to help David accomplish God's will in his life, which was to be the next king of Israel, I have to give up my kingdom. And so Jonathan demonstrated what it means to fear the Lord. Because this is God's will. He had to surrender his own will. Whether he wanted to be the next king of Israel or not, as far as Jonathan was concerned, it's irrelevant. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to help my friend David to accomplish in his life? And if it means to be the next king of Israel, I will have to give up my kingdom. And he did. And so he helped David in sincerity and in truth, God's truth. And so the complication arose when the father wanted to stop God's will from being done in David's life, trying to kill David prematurely so that he will not be the next king. And that complicated Jonathan's life to no end. He cannot openly support his best friend David, because that would be dishonoring his father. And yet at the same time, he could not support his father because the father was wrong. He was going against God's will. It was a dilemma. And yet, Jonathan passed the test very well. No vested interests. His heart was right in sincerity and in truth. And you have to put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. That means in Ur of the Chaldees, as well as in Egypt, what they have learned. In other words, tradition. That was what it means. Tradition. Because it was as far back as Abraham's time, the fathers that served the gods of the Chaldeans, the Babylonian gods. That means the residual of such worship through tradition has to be laid aside, set aside, cast away. And then also what they have learned and picked up from the Egyptian form of worship, where they were slaves for 430 years, also had to be set aside. Both were traditional gods because they have hundreds of years of practice. So as long as the tradition is not in line with God's word, you have to put it away. And then you serve the Lord. And if you find that these terms are unacceptable, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, you find these terms of God are not acceptable to you, then you don't have to serve Him. But remember, if you don't serve the Lord, and you serve some other Lord or some other gods, you'll be prepared for the consequences. And there will be consequences. Because your life and my life will always be a life of service. There's no way you can get around it. Sometimes you and I think that we are masters of our own destiny. You are not. You and I are born slaves. We are born again slaves. And we will die as slaves. Understand this truth. Every morning you wake up, you begin to serve. Now the question is, who is your master? Verse 14 gave us the terms that God says are my terms if you want to serve me. And they are non-negotiable. And this is applicable to everyone without exception. Not less, not more. No favoritism. God is no respecter of person. The same standard that God required of Israel, God required of Moses. And God required of us. It has not changed. It never will change. Because God is the same yesterday, today and forever as far as His character is concerned. And this is what He requires of all those who serve Him. And so Joshua said, if you seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well, you choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, that will be the Chaldean gods, or the gods of the Amorites and the Canaanites that you are now dwelling in. In whose land ye dwell, because you can still see them. They have yet to finish conquering every little part of the land of promise. Not yet, as the book of Judges revealed to us. They failed God miserably. The generation after Joshua's generation failed God very badly. Will you and I do the same? Fail God? It has to continue. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua encouraged. I can't choose for you, Joshua said. I can only choose for my family, because he was the head of his family. And so he shared with the people of Israel. As for me and my house, those under my care, my responsibility, we want to serve the Lord. I can't choose for you. I can't choose for your family. You are the head of your family. You choose. Bear that in mind. They were a national witness. And so every Israelite family combined together made up the national witness in the land of Israel. We are now an ecclesiastical witness, a church witness. And every family combined together make up the church witness. And if every church member or most of the church member chose to follow the Lord, we will have a wonderful church. And if the majority of the Israelites' family chose to follow the Lord, it will be a wonderful witness to a world that is dying in sin. But you and I have to choose. And if you make the wrong choice, it will impact the church. It will definitely impact your family. And it will impact the church. And if more of us chose to follow not the Lord, but the gods of this world, then we are in trouble. The church is in trouble. Because very soon, you're going to choose leaders that are like you. And if you are worldly and carnal, you're going to choose worldly and carnal leaders, and then the church will slowly die. As you know, this year is also the election year, as you can see from the announcement in the bulletin. When the people in the congregation are godly, they will want godly leaders. When the congregation is carnal, they will want carnal leaders. It is your choice. And once you choose carnal leaders, and more carnal leaders will begin to occupy the leadership, rest assured, the church will soon die. And it will be a very, very different church in a very short time. Because the spiritual people in the congregation cannot stomach carnal leadership. And they will soon leave. And more of them will leave. And what you have left behind will be only carnal professing believers. That's all, professing believers. Whether they are believers or not remain to be seen. Probably not. Because like priests, like people, like priests. And so when you and I have leaders that are carnal, you're going to rest assured, you're going to have carnal people that remains. Choose very carefully for the health of the church as a whole. Don't say, well, it's my family. It's not your family only. Because you are part of this congregation. As members of this church, you are part of this church family. And therefore, your family's spiritual well-being is the care and concern and responsibility of everyone in the same church family. That's what it means when you take the membership oath. You become part of God's family. And therefore, how you take care of your family will impact my spiritual life. Because God sees us as one church. Why do you think that when God sentenced the nation of Israel to 40 years of wilderness wandering, Moses did not do anything wrong, neither did Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to enter the promised land. But the majority of them say, no, we cannot, we are like mosquitoes, they are like giants. Not mosquitoes, grasshoppers, I beg your pardon. Grasshoppers, slightly bigger. Mosquitoes are too small. Grasshoppers. We can't enter. And so did Moses and Joshua and Caleb say to the Lord, but we want to enter. God says, no, I'm dealing with you as a nation. When the majority of them do not want to enter, everyone, including those who are obedient, they also have to go into the wilderness together with the rest. Same for us. We want the Lord to bless this church. We pray that this church will remain faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in this new year, but for every new year until the Lord returns. Because we know it is so hard to find a church where our children and our children's children can be brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord or through the church. Because through the church, we can have godly parents when the parents are properly taught the Word of God. And with godly parents, we will have godly home. And the Sunday school teachers will also be godly, and they will teach the children properly with the Word of God that is of the highest esteem in the heart and lives of all the teachers. And that is not possible when we have families of the families choosing to serve the gods in whose land ye dwell. And the gods in whose land ye dwell, by way of application, will be Singapore for us, isn't it? And the gods of our fathers beyond the flood would be our tradition. We come in with our baggage, our traditions. As long as they are not in conflict with God's word, by all means, keep our tradition. But the moment our tradition runs counter to the word of God, we have to stop. Because in order to serve the Lord, God has set the terms. And the terms are very clear. Will you and I be like the people in Joshua's generation? The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Do you know who uttered these words? These were the words of the adults. Do you know that? The adults represented the rest of the people of Israel. And so when we have our first meeting, God willing, this Lord's Day for the new adult fellowship, you know that there is one chapter in the Old Testament that targets only the adults. And that's why the topic is going to be on the role of the adults. You and I must know what our role is. These are the words of the adults. How do we know these are the words of the adults? Because these are the people who answered and said, we have experienced the great signs that God had done in our sight. Now, when God punished the people of Israel, 603,548 of them died in the wilderness. And they were 20 years and above. So if you were 19 and below, other than Joshua and Caleb, you would be able to remember the miracles that God did in Egypt. You will remember the crossing of the Red Sea. You'll remember the great signs that God did. And these people said, we were witnesses to the great signs that God did. Now, if you add 40 years, the oldest person would be 19 plus 40, 59. And assuming that those who are 7 years and above would have a slight memory of what happened. I mean, when they are 3, 4 years old, they probably would not remember unless you are a genius. Lord says 6, 7 years old, so plus 40. So this will be the adults between 46, 47, up to the age of about 59. And they are the ones who said, we have experienced, we have witnessed, we have seen the great signs that God did. We know that God was the one who brought us out of the land of bondage. So they were the adults who represented the leaders in answering Moses. We want to make the right choice. We want to choose correctly. We have experienced God in our lives. We want to make the right choice. And that is why Choose You This Day must begin with the leaders, the adults, in your family, in the church, because you will set the pace, you will set the tone for everyone that follows the younger ones. They will follow how the adults will choose. The adults are also the ones who will be in leadership, and they have to make the right choice. And that's how they testified. God has preserved us in all the way wherein we went. Talking about the 40 years of wilderness wandering, including the 6 to 7 years that God used to conquer the Canaanites or the Amorites. And among all the people through whom we pass, God has seen us through all the enemies in our lives, and we have experienced His power, His goodness, His mercy, His patience, His long-suffering in dealing with us. After all these wonderful spiritual experiences, how can we not choose the Lord? And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, the Canaanites, which dwell in the land where we are in right now. Therefore will we also serve the Lord. He is our God. They made the right choice on behalf of the people of Israel. Will you this night, this day, this morning, make the right choice? Will you? Before you lay down to sleep? I hope you and I will make the right choice, because so many people depend on us as leaders. And every son, every daughter that begins a new home, your father and your mother can't make the choice for you now. You have to make the choices for your new family right now. And I hope that you will learn from the good example of your mom and dad. And I hope that every mom and dad will set good examples for their children. And every adult in this church, you are the spiritual father and mother. You may not be married, but you are in this church and you are of an adult age. You are the spiritual father and spiritual mother to the younger ones. You look around you. Many of the younger ones, the young adults, are beginning what you have begun 20, 30 years ago. They are now struggling with a new family, a young family, and new jobs. What counsel do you have for them? What mistakes that you have made that you could share with them so that they will not make your mistakes? Your life counts, whether it is full of mistakes or otherwise. Warn them if it is a life of mistakes. Don't pretend and present a life without mistakes, because that's impossible. Share with them. Let them know your struggles, because right now they are struggling through what you have struggled 20, 30 years ago. And now you have arrived. And you may have some regrets. Share with them the regrets. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Never too late to make the right choice. As long as you are breathing, you can still make the right choice, even for all of us who may be in our evening years, I beg your pardon, all of you who may be in your evening years, I'm still young. Evening years, maybe 65 and above, or 70 years and above evening years, right? That's why I don't want to join the Golden Years Fellowship, not yet. Evening years, as long as you are still breathing, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make the right choice. There's so many people who depend upon you. You look around you. And those who are the young adults, you have people younger than you, they also need guidance and help. Because they are struggling through what you struggled when you were a student, before you found your life partner and before you begin your working life. All of us have people that needs proper guidance. Choose you this day, dearly beloved, whom you will serve. And I hope you will choose the Lord like what this adult said to Moses. Sorry, to Joshua. We want to choose and serve the Lord. Then remember the condition that comes with the choice. And the condition that comes with the choice are found in verses 19 and 25. Now verse 19 must be read together with verse 20. Because if you don't read it together with verse 20, it can be misinterpreted and you will arrive with the wrong doctrine. And Joshua said to the people, alright, fine, you make the right choice. Now these are the terms. Remember, saying that you want to make the right choice is the good and first step only. But now the next step is reality. You have to live this out in your life, not just for today, but every day of your life until the Lord calls you home. Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Eh? You just told us to make a choice. Now how come you say now you cannot serve the Lord? Now he did not say you cannot serve the Lord. Please read this in conjunction with verse 20 so that we get the right context. You cannot serve the Lord. Why? For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. This is a good kind of jealousy. This is a kind of jealousy that is likened to the jealousy of the husband-wife relationship. If the husband plays the fool and commits adultery, the wife has every right to have the right kind of jealousy. Because he made a covenant, he made a vow that only to the wife will he love, just as Christ loved the church. And when now he turned his eyes to somebody else, the wife has every right to feel jealous and angry. And that is the kind of jealousy. God wants us to have him as God only, not God, Jehovah, and many other gods. Unacceptable. He is a jealous God. He wants total, absolute, singular devotion from his people. If you want to serve him, this is his condition. And that's why the jealousy of God is emphasized here. For our good. Right kind of jealousy. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. So in other words, God will not accept service from us. God will say to us, I will not want you to serve me if you do not serve me absolutely, totally, single-mindedly. I must be the only God in your life. God said, I will not accept your service if I am only one of many gods. You cannot say, I serve Jehovah, I serve Jesus Christ, but not only. There will be others. God says, you cannot do that. I will not accept your service. And if you want to repent, God says, I will not accept your repentance. I will not forgive your transgressions if you continue to worship idols. It's not that God will not accept your repentance if your repentance means you will turn away from idols. God will surely accept. But the kind of syncretistic worship that you will find characterizing the life of Israel, especially during the time of the kings, started in the period of Judges. It was syncretistic worship. They never forgot the name Jehovah. They continued to use the name Jehovah. The problem was they did it in front of the idols of the Canaanites. And that's what verses 19 and 20 is all about. You cannot serve the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday and Monday to Saturday you serve mammon. God will not accept this kind of service, and God will not accept this kind of repentance when on Sunday you say sorry, 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 and on Monday to Sunday you go back to serve mammon. That kind of hypocritical repentance, God says, I will not forgive. It must be a turn away from idolatry to the one living and true God, where your eyes and your heart and your mind are singularly devoted only to Jesus Christ and nobody else. That's what it means in verses 19 and 20. And so Joshua said to the people of Israel, represented by the adults, you made the right choice, very good, but understand the conditions of the choice. Then he will turn and do you hurt. Because this kind of hypocrisy, God cannot accept. Because you are the only witness on this earth to the grace and the mercies of the one living and true God. And if my people, God says, the people of Israel, were to use the name Jehovah in front of the objects of the Canaanites' worship, the gods of the Canaanites, then what kind of picture, what kind of God are you portraying to the whole world? That this is Jehovah? But this is not Jehovah. Jehovah cannot be represented by gold, silver, stone, or anything made by the hands of man. And if you come to church for worship, singing all the right hymns, even preaching and teaching God's word, and then from Monday to Saturday, all you care about is to make money, and mammon is your God from Monday to Saturday, and Jehovah is your God on Sunday, God says, I cannot accept that kind of worship, because that is not the God of the Bible. You are painting a wrong picture of God, and that is not Jesus Christ. And God says, I will do you hurt, I have to stop you. Because if you want to deceive your own soul and end up in hell, it's one thing. It is a totally different thing when you present a wrong picture of Jesus Christ and stumble others who want to find salvation, and you present to them a false Christ. Because Christ is not like that. Followers of Jesus Christ, they are not like that. They are not lovers of God on Sunday and lovers of mammon on Monday to Saturday. Or lovers of son or daughter or somebody else or something else. God will not accept that kind of worship. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Hope that you will choose Jesus Christ. But it has to be on His terms. And His terms are very clear. And God said to Israel, I will consume you. After that, He had done you good. After all that God has done for you, and all you do is now worship God in front of these idols with a heart that is two-faced, God says, no. Because I am God. I'm a jealous God. I cannot accept this kind of devotion and service. And the people said to Joshua, no, Lord, but we will serve the Lord. We will accept your terms. And I hope you will too. I hope you will accept God's terms. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves. Are you sure that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him? And they said, witnesses. Now, of course, we are is added. And they said, yes, we are witnesses. Our own words. Our presence before you, Joshua. We are witnesses to our own words. Will you make the right decision? To serve the Lord means follow the scriptures in all that you do. Bring your children up according to the scriptures. Every area of your life must be done according to the scriptures. That's what it means. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. So you want to serve? Very good. Your own words are your witnesses? Very good. So now put away. Whatever gods you have in your heart, in your home, put them away. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And then you steer your heart to God and God only, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do it this morning? It's between you and the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. But every head of the home, especially when your children are young, please make the right choice. Don't drive them to the gods of this world. You're going to kill them. You're going to hurt them. And then you call yourself Christians? God cannot allow that to happen because you are bringing shame to the name of Christ. God will do you hurt. And he might even consume you just as he consumed the Israelites. And he did. Yes, you can see from the book of Judges, he sent oppressors and many of them died. And he did try his best to stop the terrible witness of the people of Israel over a period of more than 350 years. That's how long the period of Judges lasted. God meant every word because God is very serious about our witness of his grace and his mercy to a world that is dying in sin, to a world that needs Jesus Christ, because Jesus alone is able to save them from their sin. And because God knows that if they die in their sin, they end up in hell, and God's desire is not to see anyone end up in hell. And God will not allow professing believers who call themselves Christians only in name but not in life, and let them continue to bring shame to the name of Christ. And he will not sit there and do nothing. He will intervene in your life and in my life. So it's better not to call ourselves Christians than to call ourselves Christians and not live as Christians. And so Joshua challenged them, put away which are among you, and then you turn your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and then he set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Alright, Joshua accepted. Because Joshua will take them at face value as the leader. He had done all that he could to warn them and to tell them about the terms of God's covenant. And then the people heard it, the people understood it, and they say, we accept the terms. And Joshua makes sure that they do not forget. And so, make the right choice, understand the condition of the choice, and then Joshua, from verses 26 to 28, instill a reminder of the choice. After his departure, he wanted the people never to forget. And so he set a large stone as a reminder. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone, and then he set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord next to the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was placed in Shechem. He placed it there right next to the tabernacle, a large stone. And every time the people come to worship in the tabernacle with their sacrifices, they will see this large stone and they will remember, hopefully, and recall this incident. That your forefathers made a choice after the generation of Joshua. Every generation, see the stone. Remember, you make the choice to follow the Lord. Remember his words. Remember the condition of serving the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone, look at this stone, shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. We have no big stone. There's no stone big enough for me to carry and put here. Do we need an external witness about the pulpit? What about the table? About the building? The walls of this building? We don't need any of these things, isn't it? Because it is a promise that you have to make before God. We do not want you to raise your hand to come forward or any of such external show of devotion. It has to be between you and the Lord, and it must be between you and the Lord. Any external form of show of devotion is meaningless if it is not from the heart. We do not want the kind of mob effect where we get people to stand up, and because everybody seems to be standing, and then you feel so awkward if you don't stand, and so you're also forced to stand. We had one speaker before who was a Baptist. And so he spoke, I think it was an evening message. And then Baptists, as you know, they like people to stand. And so he asked people who want to consecrate their lives to the Lord to stand up. And so one by one, they stood up. I sat over there. I did not stand, I sat down. I refused to stand. I look around me, everybody stood up. In my own heart, I'm a Presbyterian, I tell myself. And Presbyterians are not like Baptists. We don't like to have altar call. We don't like to have this kind of external gesture. If I want to consecrate my life between me and God, I don't have to show the speaker. I just sat down. And that was it. I refused to stand. And then subsequently, Dr. Toh showed me a note. Somebody complained. How come all of us stood up and consecrated our lives? Reverend Quek did not. So Dr. Toh showed me the note. So I explained to Pastor why I refused to stand. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm not a Baptist. If I want to consecrate my life, it has nothing to do with the speaker, and I don't want to stand up just because I want to please the people around me. And we are not asking you to stand or do anything external. Let it be your heart. Let it be between you and the Lord. Let the first Lord's Day of this new year be your great stone. Let the first Lord's Day of every new year be the great stone that must bring to remembrance your heart of devotion, of service to the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. I don't need to know. And even if you say it, it means nothing if you do not live it out. And I will not be around to live it out, to see you all the days of your life. And so therefore, whether I see or know, it matters not to me and should not matter to you too. The only person that must concern you the most, whether your heart is devoted to the Lord, is the Lord Himself, isn't it? Is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Because He died for you. I didn't die for you. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the dead for your justification and your victory over death and sin. And therefore you and I are duty bound by all that He has done in your life and in my life to serve Him and to choose Him and Him only. And the reminder is, through the Lord's Supper, through the first Lord's Day of every new year, I hope that you and I will choose you this day to serve the Lord. For the people of Israel, they needed a great stone before Joshua's death to remind them. You and I must never forget that you are servants of the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve by the way that you live. Let it be a life of holiness in every area. And I hope all of us who stood up a moment ago to take the oath of service will understand afresh how glorious and how wonderful it is to be saved for service. That's why God saved us and did not bring us to heaven. That's why God saved us and allow us to remain on earth to serve Him and to serve one another. And for all of us who did not stand up in service, why didn't you stand up? Why are you not serving? You have to serve. That's what your life must be to God, for Jesus' sake. And let your life be a blessing to others. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the life of salvation that You have given to us, for You have opened our eyes. You have delivered us from sin, from death, from hell. And this life that we have to live on this earth is truly an abundant life, a life where the joy of the Lord can be our portion day after day. Where to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the greatest, highest calling that You could ever give to creatures such as ourselves. Help us therefore, as Thy blood-bought children, to choose wisely, to choose this day to serve Thee and Thee alone, with our heart, with our mind, with our soul, with all our being. May we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but always to have the fear of God in our hearts and to serve Thee with sincerity and in truth, and to know that Thou art a holy God, a jealous God, that we cannot serve God and mammon at the same time, for it is impossible. Choose you this day whom you will serve. May it be the Lord, is the heart's cry of all of God's children this morning before we leave this sanctuary. And not only for this morning, but for the rest of this year and the rest of our lives, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And may we be reminded of the choice that we have made through the Lord's Supper and perhaps even through the first Lord's Day of every new year. Let this be a stark reminder to all of God's people how important it is that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him only. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.